Delphina here. I'm on social media, you're on social media, and I don't know about you, but it can really feel like a free-range place to share all my big emotions and opinions, and because I'm a webcomic creator, obviously my art and comics too. But I think we've all seen, or done, things that can be questionable. So Crispy, Bob, and I got together to record a special jam about how not to market your art and comics. It's on our Patreon at patreon.com/screentonescast for folks who are supporting our work. So, you know, hop on over there, become a Patreon, and give it a listen. We've also got Goofs of the Month and maybe more stuff coming up. We really appreciate any support you can give over there. And again, that's patreon.com/screentonescast. Thanks for listening.
Just do it! Don't let your dreams be dreams. Yesterday said tomorrow. So just do it! Face your dreams! I'm true.
Push record right when you said IKEA shit.
Oh, yeah. Okay, well, I'll be saying it in this episode regardless. Hello, and welcome to Screen Tones, where we talk anything and everything webcomics. Today, we're going to be talking about desk and office setups for making your webcomics. I'm Crispy, I use she, they pronouns, and I make the webcomics Ghost Junk Sickness and Lunar Blight.
I'm Bob, I use any pronouns, and I make the webcomics Into the Smoke and Demon of the Underground.
And I'm Delphina. I use she, her pronouns, and I make the webcomic Sombulus.
Okie dokie, artichokey. So we spend a good chunk of time in one spot, drawing and writing our webcomics, so it makes a lot of sense to think about where that physically happens. Having a good space to make your webcomic is one of the many things that you could do to set up like a healthy comic-making habit. And if you haven't thought about it before, today is the day. It's now or never. So we're just going to kind of dive right into this. This topic is extremely, I'm so passionate about this topic because I, as a person who used to just kind of draw in weird positions, weird places, just on my side, wherever I kind of could, it really messed up my relationship with professionally working, making a schedule and stuff like that. And it's weird to think about that stuff, but it does actually add up into like a headspace. It's really good to kind of help separate creating art for you in free time as opposed to creating art professionally and even just keeping a schedule. And I find a physical space has extremely helped with that and the organization of that. So let's kind of dive in. I'm going to be throwing these questions at Bob and Delphi, and we're just going to be chatting about it. So first question is, what does your space look like and how has it evolved for your needs? So talk to me, Bob, all about that.
Well, it's funny because I first started, you know, when I was a kid drawing, it was a lot like what you were talking about. Like I would just, my standard drawing position was just sitting cross-legged on the sofa with my sketchbook in my lap, just drawing. And of course that evolved when I, you know, went to art school and graduated. And then, you know, for a while after art school, I lived at home and my office was in my bedroom and it was just like a little desk off to the side. I had very little freedom in, you know, my ability to really craft the space into something that worked for me. And at this time I was already, you know, for the first few years, I was working out of the house or outside of the house, but then I went back to doing freelance on a professional basis, and I still had this very kind of unprofessional workspace, and it was very difficult. The hardest part being just that you don't realize how much stress a space carries until you stay out of that space for a few days. And when your workspace is your stress space, is your bed space, then you're really stewing in it. You know, and I just, you know, I didn't have the setup to, you know, have like my scanner was on the floor. If I needed to cut things, my cutting mat went on the floor. It was just a mess. And so I'm very lucky now that I do have a dedicated office in my house and it is a small room and I have my setup. My desk is kind of two desks stuck together in an L shape and half of the office is mine and the other half is Pokebird's, and Pokebird is my parrot. And so, you know, I'm always in her sight and she is in my sight while I work, and she keeps me company. But, you know, I have, you know, my iMac, which is the center of my workspace, my Cintiq, and then my peripherals on my right, and, you know, my tea on my left, and my bookshelves and everything I need within reach. And it's just a much better space. And I also even have a window with light that comes in, and it's very nice.
The natural lighting thing is something I want. Lighting in general is something I'm going to definitely go on a tangent about when it comes to like spaces and stuff like that. Also, shaking your hand at the amount of similarities it sounds like our spaces have. And I like the sound of the upgrade that we've had to make this a better experience. And it's a lot of it helps mentally and even physically. We're going to be talking about like a lot of ergonomic kind of things a little bit later, but this helps kind of put you in the zone, but taking you apart from other places that you do want for rest. Because again, that was something that I used to do, laying on my side and drawing and the worst posture ever, hurting my back, you know, to kind of get things done. And it was chaos. And I do want to say, as an aside, obviously this is not going to be the case for everyone. There are people who do have disabilities that do have to stay in certain positions, certain like recline stuff that, you know, this is not specifically for. And, you know, you have to put yourself in a place that is comfortable for you and makes sense. So that is going to be staying kind of in mind, talk about stuff like this. But as far as office spaces go and kind of getting yourself a desk area, I think there's a lot of benefits that we could have. So Delphi, talk about your little zone.
Okay. So I started making comics before the digital age, and it was just basically me and my sketchbook wherever, mostly at school. So I would be at my desk and I would just be drawing during classes or over lunch periods or whatever. So I think that was kind of an advantage to physical media, that I could kind of do it anywhere. But once I switched to digital media, I did have to really start thinking about where to optimize my space. And I got a drawing tablet. I like the ones that are not like screens. So it's blank and you're looking up at your monitor while you're moving your hand lower. I think that's easier for me. So that's always the kind of space that I've optimized for, which means I've always wanted a desk that has a lot of space in front of the monitor. I like to have a keyboard tray for my keyboard and my monitor. So that's not fighting for the same space. My first desk came out of dumpster diving when I was a poor college student. It had a little hutch and it was kind of bad. Eventually, I upgraded. I got an L desk, and I, for a very short period of time, had a dedicated office. One of the bedrooms we were able to turn into an office for me, and that was magical. I loved having a door. To Bob's point too, I liked having a place that wasn't where I was sleeping, and just being able to turn that off at the end of the day when I'm like, okay, I'm out of the office. I am physically out of the office because I'm not working anymore. So that was great. I've also experimented a lot because I would travel a lot for conventions. And so I got kind of a laptop setup that I like, with a little crate thing that I put under the laptop to elevate the monitor part and just kind of try to recreate that experience of monitor up, drawing surface down, keyboard below in whatever space I had. Sometimes that was a kitchen table, sometimes that was something else. And I really didn't have a lot of, you know, I tried to be flexible about it, but there were some times where that dedicated space was not available to me because of my living situation, so I made do with what I could. But now it's pretty good. I have my L desk. It's not an L right now. I had to kind of separate it because of the specific space that we have in our apartment. So it's there. I've got two monitors. I've got my drawing tablet space. And it's in a pretty good spot right now. I also have a big wall that I switch up every once in a while when I get prints from different conventions that have, you know, just kind of inspiration for me or nice things. I've got a little bucket where I keep printouts of my previous Sambulus pages that I've done in a big portfolio folder. So anytime I want to reference something that I've done in the plot or I've forgotten what I've done, like those books are right next to me, right by my left hand. And then all of my art supply tools have their little shelf. So yeah.
I love how cozy that sounds. I love how cozy both of your spaces sound. Like everything is there and ready. And it's go time. I think that's the biggest thing, is having that go time when you're doing kind of like space setups. And again, I'll get into this a little after about having enough and not everything too, because that could be overwhelming depending on what kind of artist you are, because I know that we have the disease of getting all of the art supplies and just kind of hoarding it. So we'll talk about that in a little bit. Talking about my own space, I am also in the L desk community. I have two desks to do that. I have the one desk that has my computer. It's on a little riser. I think risers are just so important. I don't think I can have my computer without a riser. I have that. And then on my other desk, which is a drafting table, it does have my bigger tablet, and it has all of my inking supplies that I need for my comic. And then, of course, I have like pegboards that have all of my paints or other supplies, all of my white inks, my black inks. And then I've actually invested in a console table behind my desk. So like maybe I have elevated past the L desk community. I'm in a little C. I'm a little nook. So I'm cozy. I have a little moment behind myself that now has my markers, because one of my goals in the past couple of years is that I wanted to get back into doing more traditional pieces. So having this accessible to me has been such a boon. And so that is in my little area. And of course, then I have my nice little footstool, because I need to cross my legs. I will die if I can't cross my legs. So footstool is a must for me. And then my headphone stands. It's like my, again, the bookshelf kind of moment. And things just look cozy, comfortable, and accessible. And I think, you know, that's important to me. And again, with the nice natural lighting, ambience, it's a cozy little spot. And it's taken time to get to this point too, because I think like as you are creating your stuff, you're going to kind of see what you need and what adjustments you need to make. And again, it's the having everything available, being like, I don't need my sculpting supplies right next to me. I'm not sculpting every day. That's like a once in a while kind of thing. And the same with like storage for our comic pages, because they're done traditionally. That's not near me specifically. That's in a different part of my space for just storage and whatnot. But yeah, I think I love my little space. I'm quite proud of it. And it makes me cozy. It gets me locked into work mode. And I think that's our key takeaway from this episode, is locking in with a good space for that. From that, now we're going to be talking about some must-haves. Now we're going to get into the deep, deep lore of good desk organization. So, Bob, I'm going to take your hand on this one. I want to talk to you about your must-haves in a desk office arrangement for tool organization, ergonomics, inspiration. Just give it to me. Give me the lore.
Okay, I'll give you all the lore. I'm going to start with exactly where I'm sitting, which is my chair. I actually have two chairs that I... Okay, first thing, this is very embarrassing. When we were talking about this episode before recording, I told the other cast members that I am 4'9". I was so starved that day. I hadn't eaten. I forgot that I'm actually 4'10". So oh my God. I was wrong about my own height, but I'm still very short. I was 4'9" for a good long time in my early years, so that's why.
At one point, you were 4'9".
At one point, I was 4'9".
Then you got platformed.
Yes. No. So basically, the thing about being 4'10" is that just like nothing in furniture is actually made for you. So you have to do a lot of workarounds. So I have a footstool for when I sit in my regular office chair so that my feet aren't dangling like a little child. So because that's hard on your knees, is having dangling legs kills your knees. And then when I'm working on my Intuos or when I'm just working straight on my screen, I'm in my office chair. And then if I'm working at my Cintiq, I switch over to a stool because it's the right height for me to actually get high enough above my Cintiq to be able to see it and work on it and not have to hunch over too much. And yeah, so there was a moment when I realized, oh, wait, I actually can have more than one chair for more than one type of work. So that's one thing, chair. Second thing, I mentioned my Cintiq, having a screen the appropriate size for the type of work you do is important. I personally work on very large screens, except when I'm sketching. I sketch on an iPad because it's easier for me to map things out on a small size, but I find it really important to ink as large as possible so that I can use my entire arm. It helped me avoid repetitive stress injuries. Then moving to my right, I mentioned, you know, we're all in the, well, I know Crispy's elevated to the C desk, but I have a vertical climber behind me to get a little bit of workout in every once in a while. So I do not have the nice C desk, although that would be very nice. I kind of wish I had that. But other side of my L desk, it started out as just my writing desk because I also do prose and stuff, but now it's also my 3D desk and it's also my cutting mat desk. It's basically my whatever isn't the main task desk, so I can just kind of switch over to that side. I have to keep it relatively clean so that way it's actually open for me when I need to use it. So that's a must have, is an alternate space for alternate types of work. And then right behind that is my reference wall. I have images right now. I have Demon of the Underground stuff up on my wall. I probably should switch it out for the projects I'm working on more heavily at the moment. But it's basically just, I've got a map of the world. I've got character designs. I've got lots and lots of portraits. I've got some illustrations, some sketches, so that it's all stuff that I can look at, just glance at any time to remind myself, oh, right, that's what's going on in the North Sphere. So that's that wall. My next must have is my down to my side. I've got a little shelf for my sketching, traditional sketching goods, so my pencils and stuff. And right below that is some crates with graphic novels for quick reference, you know, graphic novels that I like. And then my must haves on my left, I got one. This is a really big one. This is my full length mirror. And it's kind of torture. It sits right next to me at all times. It keeps me accountable for, you know, cleaning myself up a little, but that's not the main purpose. The main purpose is just so I can do a quick pose in the mirror if I need a quick reference. I also have a gooseneck mount phone holder so that I can grab a quick photo if I need to. And that is, for me, a really big must have. I even had it in my previous workspace. Just being able to grab those quick references without having to jump on a computer or pose a 3D model or anything like that. Very handy. And then I have a printer. It's too evil to call it a must-have, but I guess it is. And then my bookshelf, must-have. And then other than that, let me see. I mean, I'm not going to go into all my peripherals, but you know, other side of my desk, my must-have is the little hangout space for Pokebird. And, you know, back when I had my last gang of ferrets, you know, my bookshelf, the IKEA shelf, has the little cat bed insert. So the ferrets used to come in and hang out there. And having a little space, if you've got pets, having a little space in your office where they can hang out with you is just very nice. And for me, that's a must have.
I love that. Oh my God. I think that is important to kind of like really tailor it to what makes you happy and gets you in the zone for that, but also like have a sharing space with your little furries, like your little furry loved ones. I think that's such a cute idea. And, you know, it, again, it helps with the organization. It helps kind of keep everything in its own place. The other thing that I definitely high-fiving you with is keeping that secondary workspace always clean, because it's always susceptible to the doom piles. And that's something I hear a lot at work when trying to organize it, is getting away from doom piles where people are like, oh, there's a flat surface, I'm going to put something on that. It's a constant battle I'm having, specifically with one room or one table in the laundry room, where I keep cleaning it. But because it's clean, it's like, oh, well, I'm just going to put a thing on there, and it becomes the doom pile.
Okay, so we made a rule when we moved into this apartment about doom piles. There's a little counter, like a breakfast bar area when you first walk in. And like, that is the ideal place to like throw whatever you're doing as you're closing the door. Like if you've got the mail, if you've got any kind of your keys or whatever, we singled that out as like, yeah, that's going to be the place that's going to collect a lot of stuff unless we do something. So we got a little piece of tape and we declared it temporary landia. And it's a zone where you can put things temporarily if you're like refilling your water glass or you're just setting things down for a while, but like you can't leave anything in that zone. Like that's kind of the rule. And I don't know if that would necessarily work for a lot of things, but as a shared space, especially if you're sharing and cohabitating with other people, and maybe you're using a kitchen table or something where like, okay, you can put some stuff on here, but not everything. You can't monopolize this space. That was our solution, and it's actually working pretty well.
I love that.
Yeah, that's genius.
Doom piles be real, and I think that as soon as there's like a flat surface, it's so easy to just throw things there. And like even the floor, doom piles become the floor. I know that, you know, it's a common thing for people to be like, oh, my laundry's done, I'll just throw it on the floor kind of thing. And you know, I'm not gonna be your mom, I'm not gonna be like, pick it up and, you know, fold it, blah 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 blah. But I will say that helps with my mental health, putting that stuff away.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the things I was like, the, you know, whatever a non-binary ruler, king, queen, whatever you call it, of doom piles at my old home.
I'm the monarch
of doom piles, which is a very honorable title. And what I found, because why it was such a big problem at my old space, was because I didn't have enough storage space to put things away. Mm-hmm. And when I first moved into my own space, the first thing I invested in was closet organizers and boxes and crates and stuff, because having the ability to put things away is a big step toward keeping the doom piles low. I mean, you still have to like sort and organize sometimes, and that's where I get caught up now. But the fact that they even have a home they can go to now is a big upgrade from what I had before.
Well, that's the thing. It's finding what works. And I don't think that it's going to be an immediate solution for all of this stuff. Like, you're not going to listen to this episode and be like, okay, but presto, it's all done. It took a few years to get to, you know, my kingdom that I work in right now. And also to kind of train yourself, because this is also a habit to keeping the space the way that you want it to. And so building those habits to keep it the way that you want is also part of it. Before we get into those weeds, I did want to hear Delphi's must-haves, the deep Delphi desk lore. You know, drop it like it's hot. Let's hear about it.
God, I don't know. I feel like I'm a little more flexible. I don't really have a lot of posture issues. I don't really have carpal tunnel issues. I've never had that kind of pain. So ergonomically, I'm probably not too bad. But one of the things I did hear at a work training course that always stuck with me is that the top of your monitor should be aligned with your eyes. So whatever you have to do to raise up your monitor or lower your monitor so that it is level with your eyes and your feet are on the floor and they're not dangling, like Bob said, that's the proper ergonomics. So that's what I always try to do. Right now I have a monitor arm sort of attachment thingy. It's a big vise that attaches to my desk, and you can lower that or raise it up depending on the space. And that's a really handy thing that makes it just a lot easier to manage that level of where the monitor is hovering at any given time. I also keep my phone pretty close to me so I can take those reference pictures. I think that's pretty important when I remember to do it. I got one of those little hand model posable things that's also very easy to just grab from not too far away and pose when I'm having trouble with hand poses. Like I was mentioning before, one of my must-haves is my book of thumbnails for all of my pages, because I know we're talking about physical space right now, but my digital space isn't always the way I want it to be. So I've rebuilt my computer a couple of times, or I've gotten things where, oh, my hard drive is full, I'll get a second hard drive, but then I never really organize stuff between them. So it's just a lot of like duplicative things. And sometimes it's hard to just find things, especially 14 years into this comic, when I'm trying to like, oh, what did I draw 1,000 pages ago? I don't, oh gosh, what was that? So having something, if you're working digitally, having something physical that's just very easy to flip through and just reference back and forth makes the writing process easier for me. And I always try to keep that printout book updated. So that's important to me. Everything else I feel like is kind of flexible to the space. But like I said, I do have my drawing tablet, so I need a desk space for that. I need to keep that clear at all times. It's not okay to pile stuff on the drawing tablet space, because as soon as I get a couple papers or something on there, like, it just becomes infinitely harder. And like, I don't know what it is psychologically, because it's only a couple of papers. We can move those. We can put those away. But as soon as you start doing that, then it's just another little bump in like trying to get back into your productive zone. And so I think the must-have situation that comes out of that is make sure everything is frictionless. Make sure that you have a reset state. So you know, okay, this is what the desk looks like when it's clean, when everything is in its place, when everything is optimized. And that's going to take some experimentation too, because I also collect so many art tools, so many art supplies and stuff that I use on a infrequent basis, and trying to figure out where, you know, how often am I going to use this thing? When you first buy it, you don't know. You're going to have to figure that out. But revisiting your space, you know, every couple months or something like that, and saying, you know what, I used that a lot this month. What if I put that a little bit closer, and I didn't use this thing at all? What if I move that a little further away? And giving yourself the space to do that, giving yourself like organization buckets or boxes or something where you can put the things that are kind of on the back burner, is also very important to me. I just kept some cardboard boxes from the last time I moved, and I stuck sticky notes on them to say, this is what's in here, just so I know. But a lot of stuff still just lives in those boxes, because I know if I'm pulling that out, it's going to be for a dedicated period of time, and I don't need it on an everyday basis, so it can have a lower shelf, a lower priority, versus the things that I use all the time are within arm's reach, are within eye level, just kind of keeping those things all organized like that.
I think that's absolute key when it's trying to prevent the doom piles and making your desk space accessible, because I think, you know, at the end of the day, that's what we're kind of going for, is how accessible this stuff is and how it helps put you in that productive kind of mindset too, and helps with your mental health, because I feel that a lot. I feel like, me personally, I have a lot of anxiety when it comes to clutter, disorganized things. Like, I cannot focus when things are on my floor specifically, and it adds to the brain noise that is hard to work through. So when I can organize these things and find out what is the most optimal way to use my space, that has helped with production. It's really helped me just, like I said, get into the zone and feel kind of excited to get into work. Not all the time. It's not going to be like, okay, yeah, it's going to be working all the time just because, you know, your desk rocks. But, you know, it is helpful for that. As far as my own must-haves in a desk space, now we've talked about, you know, the stool, talking about the monitor being at eye level. I think that is such a good point, because I see people have setups in which they have to like look up to their computer or look down in just awkward positions, and you don't realize how much that's contributing to like hurting your posture or, you know, cranking kind of like areas, your neck, your shoulders, or anything like that, and really hurting yourself in the long run. So, you know, trying to do things that really help with your stature and whatnot, and to make it more comfortable, drawing, like Bob said, inking really large to move your whole arm as opposed to just your wrist. You know, it's just little things like that actually do really, really add up. And again, it just takes a while to kind of understand yourself and how you work. For me personally, this is something that I've always held very close to myself as far as making a good space is lighting is so important. And I'm going to come in being a hater. I hate fluorescent light overhead lights. I hate them. They are the absolute worst.
Oh my God.
I am not going to be like drawing in a school, middle school setting. It makes me angry. I could just feel the migraines happening already. It's just negative points. It's the worst. So for me, I do a lot of small pieces of lighting that help me have more natural light. It is important. Natural light is very important to me. But also, like, I have an LED light, which has like more of a natural kind of look that helps get good for focus on the eyeballs. Because, you know, as someone who has vision problems, I have to like account for like a small, these little extra pieces. So having this light, I have a nice little LED light. I have a nice little incandescent warm light, and that stuff helps me get cozy, but also just actually focus on my stuff. I don't know what it is. I feel like there's probably some science behind it. I cannot focus with an overhead fluorescent light. I think it's just so invasive. It doesn't help with lighting. I don't like it with my traditional work. It's bad.
It's so bad. And the problem here in California is that we have a lot of ceiling fixtures with the ceiling fans, because some places here were not built with air conditioning. So you want to have that airflow because it gets pretty hot in the summer. And if you have one of those overhead lights and the fan going, and it's modulating the light because it's reflecting off of the fan, that's the worst. And so, like, as soon as I enter a room, my mom will get after me about this. If I'm at home and I'm drawing on the kitchen table or whatever, like, she's like, don't you want some light? And she'll like flip that switch. Nope. We're doing torchy air. We're doing anything else. Not that.
Yeah. It takes me right out of focus. I cannot understand. It does not help with focus when I think of like the lighting. And it's something I learned in high school, actually, about proper lighting. So when I went into art class in one of my high school adventures, I absolutely appreciated every single desk had their own clip lamp to draw with. And it was the best. There was no overhead lighting. Everybody had their own desk lamp. And that moment, it was so small, but it was so huge for me. Ever since I had that, I was like, I will never draw in stupid lighting ever again. I'm going to be a cozy little bean. And this is going to help with my headaches, my focus, and all of that. So I think ambient light, however you make it, really, really helps. So again, you know, trial and error, seeing what works, seeing what spaces work. And you know what? Those people are out there. Those people who like fluorescent overhead lighting, you're out there. I'm seeing you. I won't say much, but I'm seeing you. You're out there. The other things that I will say are must-haves that you can get for stuff is I have this cool toolbox that's a little cute Mastercraft toolbox that they came out with different colors because, of course, we'll get into it later, but I love pink. So as soon as I saw that I had a pink one, I was like, oh, we are purchasing that. And a lot of the inks that I have actually have to be stored horizontally. It cannot be stored vertically because everything gets clogged. So it's my Optimus Prime of art. I love it so, so much. It keeps everything nice and organized. I have a lot of little pen places to keep everything organized too, where it's like, these are specifically my pencils. These are specifically my inks at this size that will help with these details. My rulers, my whatever, my nibs, blah, 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 blah. So everything has their own little compartment, because once you kind of get into the groove, you're like, and you're going through, everything kind of is just muscle memory at this point, being like, oh, it's over here. Oh, it's over here. And It's awesome. It's kind of like, you know, when you're working digitally and you know the key, the shortcuts, when you organize your space specifically, it feels like that. So it's awesome to have toolboxes. You can use makeup boxes too, like little makeup drawers. I actually use another makeup moment for my other pens and paint pens, because again, they have to be stored horizontally. So that is another must have for that. Aside from my ambient lighting and my little places for my inks, the other thing that I want to talk about is desk easels. I specifically use a desk easel for my tablet, and it's a nice, it's a nice priced one, a nice little wood desk easel that helps me kind of adjust my tablet to whatever size. I know that there's like drawing arms. I cannot use that for the space that I have. I have a glass table. It can't be affixed to that. But this one is really awesome. I can slide it wherever I want because the desk is big enough to allow for that. And I like the adjustment levels for it. It can go like right straight flat, which is kind of neat. Just like, I mean, it's an easel, so it could do that. And it can hold a lot of weight, which is also, very important when you're drawing on stuff like that. So it doesn't actually have to be just the accessories that come with your tablet or like are supposed to be with your tablet. You can get creative. You can find other things that work for that, because I think one of the things about figuring out your space is also, budgeting and finding things that work for what you want. And yeah, that was just kind of like going around getting that desk easel and those little compartments. Before I continue to just go on about everything that is organization, I am going to go on to the kind of last question that we're going to just talk about advice in general when doing that, just because it's a great segue to go in there. So Bob, come hither. I would love to hear your advice to folks who feel like their drawing space, their physical drawing space, is holding them back. Like what would you tell this young chap?
Well, the first thing I would say is approach your workspace with the mindset that you can change anything. Now, that may or may not actually be true. There are obviously some things you can't change. Like when I was living in a place where I had to work out of my bedroom, that was the reality of it. But I had it so ingrained in my head that I wasn't allowed to change anything, that there were actually so many things I could have changed to improve the space, to make it better, that I didn't give myself permission to do. So if I had had the mindset of, well, I can change things, what can I change? Like, I can't not work in my bedroom, but maybe I could put up a curtain or a partition wall or something to just divide up the space so that it feels less like I'm working 2 feet away from my bed. And again, you don't have to be locked into whatever is commercially available for these particular tasks. You can get creative with it. Thrifting is an option. Just, using things for off-label purposes is always an option. And I would say get into those creative communities, either online or in person, and talk to other creators about what they did with their spaces. Like, say, like, I want to hang stuff up on my wall, but I'm not allowed to put holes in my wall, and I don't want to use those little sticky tabs. Do you have any suggestions? People probably will have suggestions. This is something that you can ask around and get outside feedback for. And budget is always going to be a concern, but that's where, kind of thinking outside the box and getting creative comes in. I mean, it is what we do for a living, is being creative. So your workspace is an extension of that. And I would say, just as a final thing, have something in your workspace that makes you genuinely happy, whatever that may be. Like, if that is your pet, even if they are wreaking havoc. I have a little gate that prevents them from getting behind my desk. But whatever the little happy thing is, like, I have a dedicated space next to my Cintiq for my tea so that I can comfortably drink tea. And it's just, whatever it is that makes it a comfortable and happy space, have something in that for yourself. That's what I would say.
That is so important. I love the idea of like little tea moments too. And just also, you can unwind at your desk. You can just relax and feel comfortable. And like, I think that's the key to doing this stuff, is feeling, like you can kind of tackle your tasks, but also enjoy it at the same time. And I think, going back to sharing the spaces with your little furry friends or making little spots to have tea. I have a little, you know, cup warmer for my tea because, you know, when it, you forget about your tea. It's a thing. It happens. It affects us all.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, I think it is important to kind of embrace that and seeing what works, because like there's a lot of things that do, you know, kind of come together and make the space, you know, comfortable for you. Are you hearing him?
Yes, but I admit yes, I'm loving it.
Okay. And also, I will say, I'm sorry, editor. I will say, as soon as you said my pet's making havoc, as soon as you said that, he tipped the papasan right over. And I was like, okay. but yes, having a space that is just really, really comfortable for you is definitely the goal. Delphi, talk about your tips and tricks that you would help with people.
Okay, so I've definitely lived that life where I'm sharing a space. I don't really have a lot of room to work with. And to Bob's point, approaching things with the idea that you can change them is important. And sometimes that also means talking with the people that you live with and saying, hey, I'd like to do XYZ. I'd like to try XYZ. And you never know, because if you have a roommate or something, they're like, actually, yeah, I've been having problems too. I to switch things up. And I did that in college a lot with my roommate. We shared a bedroom and it was a little weird, but we would like put our beds on different walls or rearrange things just to see what would happen, just to see if we liked it. So I always advocate that, and especially if you're living with someone else, talk to them first if it's going to affect them. But if it's your own space, do whatever you want. And one thing that actually really helps me if I'm stuck in a rut and I can't really pinpoint why is just removing everything from the room. Just take everything out. And that gives you an opportunity to like deep clean things and get on all the crevices that you don't normally get to anyway. So that's probably good. But take everything out and then put it back in a different place and really think about, okay, I'm picking up this thing and it's going to go back somewhere. And the somewhere is going to be where it lives. What's the ideal place for this thing to be? And just being very intentional about examining every single piece of your setup can really help you if you have that kind of blindness where you put something there and it's there forever and it's part of the background noise and you don't really think about it anymore. That's an exercise that helps you get around that to like actually see. And like maybe sometimes there's stuff that like you don't even want anymore. You're like, wow, I got pastels. I hated it. And now you can like put that instead of like on a shelf somewhere gathering dust, you could put it in a box, give to a friend or charity or whatever. Being intentional about that, making sure that everything has a reset state, like we said before, where you know where things will go in an ideal state, and trying to get to that, you know, end of the day or end of the week or something like that just becomes a very good practice so that it doesn't seem like you're getting to a place where you're overwhelmed by your space, because that's the thing you really want to avoid. Once you're in that state of, I hate sitting here and I hate working here, then how are you going to approach your comic in a healthy way? You're not. It's going to be harder than it needs to be. So keeping an eye on that, keeping an eye on really what you psychologically need, and also those overhead lights. Oh my God. I think sometimes things come with your space that you're like, well, I have to use this. I have to that's the light in the room. And if I don't want to be sitting here in a dark, creepy room, that's the light I need to use. It's not. There are other options. Go to IKEA, something. Like there's so many different kinds of things that you can experiment with. I have before. Some of them work out, some of them don't, but that's the way you're going to find out what works for you in your space, in your situation.
We are haters of fluorescent overhead lights.
It wasn't on my list until you said that. I'm like, oh my gosh, I have so many opinions about lights.
And you don't realize it until you get a nice space and then you're like, oh, I've been missing out. So lighting, yeah, absolutely important. As far as, you know, I think, it's hitting it on the head with all of the pieces of advice, you know, for making that comfortable space and also like helping feed into that mentality of making webcomics, making your comic. And it's like, you're not going to have a good time if you're just like, oh man, I would prefer to just sit in this weird little spot in a different place because, you know, I can't focus. And it is all about focusing for, you know, creating comics. So for me, specifically, I wanted to kind of go in a little bit of a tangent with designing a desk space or an office space and thinking about, you know, trying to make it pretty, because I know that like a lot of people being like, I have an idea or a dream desk space that I would like. Here's some tips that I take a lot when I do a lot of interior design or decorating, helping people making their spaces, is always thinking of the texture, the color and the accents when you design these spaces. So when I talk about that, when I talk about texture, I'm talking about, you know, what are we using for the base of the furniture that we have? So, you know, is it wood? What kind of wood? Is it bamboo? Is it, you know, oak? Is it, you know, anything? What's the colors? Or is it metal? Like, you know, are we going for that? So our textures in the room could all be the same. So for me specifically, I decided, okay, my texture is going to be bamboo. I'm sticking with that, the light, nice light color, or it can be really nice light wood that can kind of, you know, pretend that is also in the bamboo kind of area. But going for that, going for the bamboo specifically, I kind of coordinate with my pen holders that are bamboo and like the legs of this piece of furniture that are bamboo, and it all just looks nice and cohesive. The color that I have can be the color of the furniture and also the color of the walls. So the color of the furniture, I went for the texture of bamboo. And I chose white for the kind of color. I have like white pieces of furniture with, you know, bamboo legs, white shelves. I have a white bookcase. And then I also have kind of these like blue kind of aqua walls. And to accent with that, so the texture color accent is pink because I love pink. Kirby is my favorite. I have Kirby all over my office. And I'm like, okay, pink looks great with the white, the bamboo. And then that kind of blue, kind of sea foamy kind of color. So I have a lot of pink. I have pink riser for my computer. My computer is also an iMac that is completely pink. And yes, I got it because it was pink. And I have the pink toolbox. I have, you know, just pink kind of throws, a pink chair, and like just the accent things. So you can put pink pillows, you can put pink throws, small pink things. These are the color when you're thinking of the accent color. It's not going to be something that just takes over everything. It's just going to be something that complements, you know, the color of the room, the color of the furniture that you have. So it's not going to take over everything, but you know, it's still a feature. And just having those kind of things in mind when you're thinking of designing a space really helps decide what you're kind of going to go for and helps keep it cohesive to the ideas or the dreams that you have for making it a nice and lovely space. So they're just small tips, small things to consider when doing that stuff. But I know like a lot of people have the dream and the ideas of that. And that's just things that I consider when I'm doing spaces. The other thing that I want to talk about is I love IKEA. And there are other places just like IKEA. We have Jysk here in Canada, which is basically another kind of IKEA too. But they have a lot of organization and things. One of the things specifically from IKEA that I'm going to be talking about is the Skattis, which is the pegboard series that they have. They come in a bunch of different sizes. They're easy to hang. And I love them for office kind of organization, especially when you don't have a lot of floor space for furniture. This stuff is really, really nice for walls. You can actually put shelves in them. They hang really well. They hold enough. Like, you're not going to put bowling balls on them. And like, they look nice. They come in a bunch of different colors too, so they can go with the space that you're designing. The other thing that I want to talk about is the Alex series from IKEA too, which comes with drawers. They have desks and stuff like that. You can actually create that space that you want. We specifically use Alex drawers for storing all of our pages of our comic because, again, they are in traditional, so they need that physical space. But I enjoy them. They're a nice kind of sleek design, and they're not too expensive. Again, thrifting could definitely lead you down that path too, because I mean, you know, it's not like this furniture is unique either. And also, I love painting furniture. There's lots of furniture that I have to paint and make it look like it matches my space too, because that's one of the big things for me, is that not only is it going to be functional, but I want it to look nice. So I think the finishing touches and, like, you know, those comfortable ideas come a little later, you know, during the design phase of making your space you, but they're nice little touches. They're nice little touches that add to that. And they make me happy. Like, you know, having nice light, having pegboards, having places for things, thinking of the accent colors that I want. And it's just cozy. It really gets me excited to work on my comics. And yeah, I enjoy it. I enjoy designing spaces and whatnot.
IKEA is amazing. And I also want to give a shout out. I think it's a little more West Coast because it's Asian. It's a Japanese chain of stores. But Daiso is my best friend because they have so many cute little decorative boxes. And especially for small spaces, I think you can get very inexpensive things that are also very cute. I feel like I just love every time I go there. I never know what I'm looking for, but I always find something. They also have wall panel things because I'm always really nervous about painting my walls if I'm renting or whatever. And they had these little, like, they were foam, but they looked like wooden panels. And I thought they were really cool, and you could put them on your wall just to get that texture like you're talking about. They're switching out their inventory stuff all the time. It's a little less steady than IKEA, but if you have a Daiso, look them up, browse around. It's such a cute store. I love it so much.
I am jealous. I'm just going to say that. I'm just jealous.
Yeah, that sounds amazing.
It's so good.
I hope that, you know, a lot of our conversations on, you know, the desk space, you know, what we showed in this episode with our desk little setups kind of inspires people to, you know, get creative and see what works for them and find a nice, comfortable place to get their comics done. And I think with that, it has been a chicken salad Caesar wrap. I'm Crispy. And you can find my works at ghostjunksickness.com and lunarblight.com.
And I'm Bob, and you can find my comics at intothesmokecomic.com and demonoftheunderground.com.
And I'm Delphina, and you can find my comic Sombulus at sombulus.com.
So, road trip to IKEA. Let's go. Let's go.
It's like Disneyland, isn't it? It's just
don't lose me. I'm scared of getting lost.
You go through the little shortcut areas, like, where am I now?
Yeah. Oh my gosh, it's so real though.
Thank you for listening to Screen Tones. For more webcomic wisdom, be sure to like and subscribe or follow on RSS so you never miss an episode. And if you're looking for even more fun stuff, join us on Patreon for secret bonus episodes, bloopers, and more. We super appreciate your support. Okay, that's it. Get back to your webcomics.